Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 today. This is a great parable that the Lord brings out, many parts to it. And today I want to speak to you about the heart of God. God loves us. We know that over and over in the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think of that. We are his children. He loves us. I don't know if you've ever seen the funny videos. What do they call it? America's Funniest Videos. And they have something in the forefront, and you think, okay, this guy's going to fall, or he's going to trip, or something funny's going to happen to him. And then in the background, you see something happening. And over, sometimes we miss things in the scriptures. As we read this chapter and preach on it today, you may think, well, this is the point, or that's the point, or this is the character. But many, many times, it's what's going on in the background, and we see something. And God has a way of meeting all of our needs by doing something like that. God will speak to us today. All we have to do is let him that heareth, you know, let him hear the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God speak to him. So Luke chapter 15, if you have a Bible, you follow along with me. It's a lengthy chapter. It's 32 verses. But we'll look at it, make some comments as we go along. I didn't preach last week, so I am ready. I've got about four messages put together into one. Amen? That's really pitiful. But anyway, verse 1, Jesus is speaking to publicans and sinners, and he's speaking to Pharisees. And he brings three parables that's in one parable. You have the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. You're probably very familiar with this story, but a lot of practical, great truths here. So we'll begin in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. One thing about our Lord, he knew what was in the heart of man. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were feeling. And he could give just exactly the right words for that situation. Every preacher, every pastor prays for that. We pray that God prepares us as we prepare the message, because God knows the needs of all the hearts. And it's amazing how that works. But we go on in verse 3 and says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He does not give up. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Why is he rejoicing? Because he found the sheep. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. That was the cause of his rejoicing. And now he wants everybody to rejoice with him. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's an application to those Pharisees. They went about establishing their own righteousness, their self-righteousness, and they weren't humble enough to receive God's righteousness. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Jesus is telling a story. A parable is an earthly story about a heavenly truth. And he makes the application that we ought to rejoice when somebody gets right with the Lord and comes close to God. And he said, a certain man had two sons. This is the third part of the parable. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Dire circumstances. Far country. Wasted all his substance. Went against all the principles he learned as a child from a good father. And now he's in the hog pen. And he would have eaten the husk that the hogs did eat. He was so hungry. But something amazing happened here. And when he came to himself, you know, we all have to do that. It's not what people tell us about ourselves. It's what we know to be true about ourselves, and God reveals that to us. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet." I don't know what God is saying to you yet in this reading of the scriptures. Maybe we're identifying with one or another. Maybe we're looking back in life circumstances. But God is speaking. And as we focus on it, we see that this man, this father, loved his son so much that he ran out to meet him. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. My wife sings a song, "Take one step towards the Savior, my friend, and you'll find his arms open wide." That's the God we speak of. The father said, "Bring the best robe," etc., etc. "Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." If you remember in the email message about Don yesterday, when he was in port, we said he's safe and sound. That's a good place to be. Amen. And this boy had come home, and he was safe and sound. And he was, and the elder son, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son," now that's interesting, it was his brother, but he won't even acknowledge that. He says to the father, "Your son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and is killed for him, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." It's a great story. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, open the scriptures to us now. Open our hearts so that we would hear your word. We would hear your spirit speak to us. And Lord, I pray that as you minister to us today, we'll minister to others. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've shown on each of us today. And I pray that you would bless the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, oh boy. You know, there are a lot of "you owe me" stories in the Bible. You know, "you owe me." There's a lot of "you owe me" stories in life. "You owe me so much money," right? "You owe me an apology." And we sometimes overemphasize that. It's a dog-eat-dog world, right? You've heard that. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't it a tooth for a tooth? But the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And there's a blessing in the forgiveness of the Father. When you think back in the scriptures, Jacob and Esau, Jacob was a manipulator. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. He has all of those names. And he lied to his father, and he stole the birthright and the blessing from Esau. And you say, man, what a low-down person was Jacob. Well, Esau wasn't a fine, upstanding man either. And Esau, because of what Jacob did to him, he got so angry he would have killed his brother. His brother had to flee. And I heard a preacher say one time, when somebody cuts you, bleed grace rather than malice. Amen? But it seems like when something goes wrong or we're agitated with somebody or frustrated with somebody, the real you comes out. The real us pops out. And certainly we want to be what we need to be. But Esau said, you owe me. You stole my birthright. We read in the Bible about David, King David. And the Bible says that when kings go forth to battle, David tarried at Jerusalem. David was a king. He should have been in the battle. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. And so he went on the rooftop. He saw Bathsheba, lusted after her, committed adultery. Now he's got a problem. She's with child. He has her husband killed. I mean, all of these things going on over a matter of time. David thought he got away with this. And it was probably a year later that the prophet came to him, Nathan the prophet, and said, David, I have a story to tell you, and I want you to judge it. And he said, there was a poor man, and he had a little baby ewe lamb. And it was his pet. They raised it, you know, and they loved this animal. But there was a rich man whose friends came to visit him, and this rich man had many sheep. But he went and took this poor man's baby ewe lamb and slew it and fed it to his guests. What is your judgment? Boy, David was so angry and so upset by seeing somebody else's sin. And David said, that man shall pay fourfold and give his life. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man, David. Thou art the man. Isn't it easy to look at other people and see what's wrong in other people? That's easy. Nobody's going to admit that. Okay, we'll just go right on. But the prophet said, you're going to pay fourfold, but you won't die. God will have mercy on you there. Judges chapter 1. There's a king by the name of Adonibezek, or Adonibezek, however you want to pronounce it. And Judah was fighting against him. He was a heathen king. And Judah overcame him and captured him. And Judah cuts off his thumbs, both hands, and his big toes, both feet. Because when you do that to a fighting man, he can't hold a sword and he has no balance. And this is what that man said. He said, as I have done, God hath requited of me. 70 kings he did that to. And now the chickens come home to roost. And he's reaping what he has sown. You owe me. Matthew chapter 18, what a story. There's a king. And he has a servant that owes him 10,000 talents. That's a lot. And if you keep putting it in perspective, I don't know what it would be today, but it'd be a lot of money. And the king finds out that the servant has cheated him. And he commands him to be sold with his wife and his children, all that he has, all his goods, so the debt would be paid. And this man said, have mercy on me, and I will pay thee all. Be patient with me, I think is the scripture. And I will pay thee all. And that king had compassion on him. Now think of this. And forgave him his whole debt. Don't you wish your credit card to do that? Or your car payment? Amen. House payment? You say, I don't owe any of those. Lend me some money after the service. Amen. And he forgave him all the debt. This same servant that was forgiven 10,000 talents went out and found a servant of his who owed him 100 pennies. And he said, took him by the throat And he said, pay me all that thou owest me. And this other servant used the same language and said, have mercy on me, be patient with me, and I will pay thee all that I owe thee. But he would not. Boy, isn't that something? Hasn't God been good to us? A lot of principles there, and we won't go in that direction so much. But again, that's the story behind the story. We come to the elder brother. Boy, this elder brother, what a spirit. And Jesus was showing this story so that the Pharisees who judged other people could see this. I remember when I was in Bible college, my teacher, Mr. Laurent, for our Old Testament survey, we would sometimes sing before the class started. And one of the songs we sang was, I had a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, and it goes on. But I had a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. When you think about that, for the believer, our debt's been paid. And he's forgiven us all of our debt. That's a blessing. The thief on the cross, think of his debt. How could he ever pay? No way he could do that. He couldn't get down off the cross. He couldn't do a thing. And so he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's powerful. The woman taken in adultery, John chapter 8, in the very act. And the Pharisees wanted to stone her because of the law of Moses. And they said, what about you, Lord? And he said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they all started leaving. And Jesus said, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. He said, go and sin no more. Shall we continue in sin? The grace may abound, God forbid. And so he said, go and sin no more, but neither do I condemn thee. He came to save us. He came to forgive us. Amen? Not to condemn us. The publican. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the one a publican. The Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like this man. I don't know if you've ever thought that. Don't admit it, but I'm sure you have. I'm thankful I'm not like them. I do this right, this right, this right, this right. The publican would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went home justified rather than the other one. So many stories. The Apostle Paul, he was killing Christians, and he thought he did God service being that cruel. God had mercy on him. What's your story? What's my story today? Boy, hasn't God been good to us? When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Charity, the Bible says, charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Boy, a good picture of that. I think it's Genesis chapter 9. After the flood, Noah becomes a vine dresser and he gets drunk. And he has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham sees his nakedness and tells his brothers, Shem and Japheth, your father's naked and he's drunk. And you know what it says if you read Genesis chapter 9? They took like a blanket, a cloth, and they walked backwards so they would not see their father's nakedness, and they covered him. Charity covers a multitude of sin. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to see it. We want to forgive it. Amen? See the principle there? Wise man in Proverbs, it is his glory to pass over a transgression. And we read Exodus 12 about the Passover and how that God, when he saw the blood, passed over that house. We find in Corinthians, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The prodigal's father said, rejoice, my son is home. He gave him gifts. They played music. They had a party. There was a great feast. That was a good time. The father is happy. Are you happy today? Happy about anything? Amen. There's a lot to be happy about. Yeah, but there's a lot to be sad. But there's a lot to be happy about. And we rejoice. The father is happy. The servants are happy. The prodigal is happy. God is happy. They can't all be wrong, can they? One person wasn't happy, and that was the elder brother. He was not happy. He said, "All these years I have worked for you. And look, you never gave me a party. You never rewarded me. You never did this for me." And he said, "Your son, not my brother, your son has wasted your living, thy living." It was his inheritance. With riotous living and our harlots, and I am not going to go in. He does not deserve to be forgiven. That was the whole point. I deserve the blessing. He does not deserve the blessing. What do we deserve? Isn't it the mercy and grace of God that forgives us and saves us? And I think that's why everybody was happy. You have to see all that this boy did to understand the grace and mercy of the father and to understand the contempt of his elder brother. You have to see all that he did. He took all of his inheritance, far country, listen, the reputation of his father. I mean, all of that. And he added to other people's sins. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. If he spent all his living on sinful living, he was adding to somebody else's sinful living. Because you sin with other people. Amen? And it just multiplied and multiplied. And finally, when everything was gone, yeah, he's getting right because he has nothing else. Who cares why? Who cares what the story is? As long as the heart is right. I remember we would go to the jail every month and we'd preach there. And the room would be packed with guys that just wanted to get out of the cell to get into a little fellowship and talk to each other. And we'd begin to preach, and everybody's laughing and nobody's paying attention. But after so much of the word of God was given, there was a hush over that place. And we never left the jail. We never left that room without multiple people, men, getting saved. Always. Well, yeah, that's jailhouse religion. I don't care what you call it. God is willing to receive some. There's a number of people that were saved in prison in the Bible. Amen? And sometimes you have to come to the place where you don't have anything but God. And that's a good place to be. And the prodigal son found that. What a blessing. But boy, the life he lived. You could understand the anger of his brother. You could understand it. But be ye angry and sin not. There's a righteous indignation many times, but you don't follow that with condemnation and criticism and sin. That's up to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In the stories in the Bible, we see ourselves in the characters. How about the elder brother? He was angry. He was really angry. He would not go in. He was critical. You ever been critical? Probably not. As I look out, I don't see a critical face here. Amen? That's because you have a mask on. Don't see it. He was jealous. Somebody said he got the chores done, but he couldn't enjoy the party. It's just like Mary and Martha. Man, look at my sister. She hath chosen the good part. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou art inexcusable, O man, thou that judgest another. If you judge another, you judge yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Well, I'm mad. I heard somebody talking about me. Thou knowest that you've talked about people. Amen? Good amen right there. Not a chance, okay? We'll just go on. Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, right? It's just the mercy and the grace of God. Here's the elder brother. He's angry, critical, jealous. He doesn't believe that his brother deserves forgiveness and kindness. The prodigal, he was humbled. He was repentant. He was willing to make restitution, but none was needed. No restitution was needed. He was forgiven everything, even though he wasted everything. I can't imagine. Do you ever use a sanctified imagination? You know, you're reading a Bible story and you try and put yourself in the place of that person. You ought to try it sometime, especially for the prodigal. You're coming home, you went to a far country, everything's gone, who knows what you look like, and here you're coming back. You have no idea how the Father's going to receive you, so you're practicing this speech for miles. You're practicing this speech. Maybe for days you're practicing this. But, well, this is what I'll say. I sinned against heaven, and I no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He's going over and over. So when he sees his Father, he's got the he's ready. Amen? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I know when I come to the throne of grace or the mercy seat that God's going to be kind to me. But many, many times it exceeds what I ever thought about God. And that prodigal, when his father treated him the way he did, I can't imagine what was going through his heart. I'm finally home. Boy, that was a long journey. And I've said a number of times, some people have to go away before they come back. They have to really see it before they see it. The servants, they were happy. Why were they happy? Because the master's happy. If the master is cruel, are you ever around somebody that's in a bad mood? Nah, probably not, right? Never around somebody that's in a bad mood. And when you're around somebody that's in a bad mood, you wish they were in a good mood, right? Because that bad mood can affect you. Okay. Boy, I'm hitting a lot of bad notes here, amen? They were happy for their master. Listen, if God is happy, we ought to be happy. The Father, boy, you see his desire. You see his heart. There's no question in this story about the love of the Father. Boy. The young man squandered all the gifts of the Father on riotous living. When he had spent all. At first he says, give me all that's coming to me. But when he finally comes home, he says, make me as one of thy servants. He has got something figured out. But he sure paid a high price for this. He had nothing left. You know, and sometimes we think that's a bad place to be. And I'm not talking financially here. This is a picture. I'm talking about being empty spiritually. I'm talking about losing our joy, losing our patience, losing our desire. He had nothing left. He had spent all. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? And she went to all these physicians. She spent all her living. She spent all, the Bible says. And was none better, but rather grew worse. But that brought her to Christ. What a blessing. Such a blessing when that happens. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. One song says, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Another song, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Another song, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and all their stains. Man, boy, what a blessing that is. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That was his thought. What did the Father do when he said that? The Father, actually, he thought that. He didn't even say it. God stopped. The Father stopped him. And he began again to bestow gifts on his sons. You've wasted all the gifts I've given you. No excuse for that. But you're home. Now I'm giving you all these gifts again. Isn't that amazing? You ever experience that? You ever get away from God? Maybe it's not the far country, but it's in the wrong direction. And anytime you come back, the gifts of God are there. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. The riches of his grace, the blessing of his comfort, his forgiveness. Amen? He just starts giving again. There was an old preacher, and he said, listen, he was an old backwoods preacher. He says, if you ever get thirsty, just get under the spigot. That's pretty smart, isn't it? You just get under you're thirsty, get under the spigot. Find out where the spigot is. And that, go get a cool drink of water. All we have to do is come back to God. And the gifts come again. They're because the Father is happy. He delights in mercy. That's why there was a party. Amen? So where there's no mercy, there's no joy. You've experienced that. When you don't have mercy or long-suffering or patience or love, the way it ought to be in the Scripture, the joy leaves. And it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. Ah, what a blessing. The Father did all of this. And he didn't stop with the gifts. There's a verse that says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. The Son knew that the Father was really happy about this. And this is probably, for me, this is the main point of the message. Might not be for you, but it is for me. That boy didn't have to live the rest of his life, and he probably didn't, with any guilt. The guilt was gone. Think of that. When you think of your life, sometimes regrets and guilt just follow us and follow us and follow us. But surely, the goodness and mercy of God will follow us all the days of our life. And whenever that devil comes with an accusation, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I've forgiven him. He's buried our sins in the deepest seas, put them away as far as the east is from the west, and he says, I remember them no more. Think of that. This boy, with this terrible load of guilt, look what I've done. I'm just barely going to make it home. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'll just be a hired servant. I'll try and repay. The Father said, you don't have to repay anything. You don't have to make restitution for anything. All you have to do is come home. No guilt. Is that even feasible? You know? Is that even in our mind where we can forgive somebody completely like the Lord does? What was this father looking for from his son? The debt's too great to repay. He wasn't looking for that. I think all he wanted was his heart. That's it. My son, give me thine heart. What a blessing. You know, that's the only way to come to God with your heart. It's the only way to come home. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to, there's a word there, according to his, oh, anybody know that verse? According to his mercy he saved us. He's a merciful God and he delights in it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it says, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Romans chapter 3, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Works? No. Grace. Faith. No boasting. It's all the free, wonderful grace of God. You can never make restitution because the debt is too great and you have nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. And God knows that. That's why he sent his son to die for us. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. It's God's work. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What a blessing that is. Amen. Lord, help, Lord. Okay, I'll help. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Okay. Take a step towards God. He'll meet you. He'll meet you down that road. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Almost done with the introduction, Lee. Almost done. The Bible says in verse 20 and 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Man, have I got a good father. I mean, I don't know what the story was in later years. We all have a story. You can't forget those things. Some of us were saved early in life. Some of us were saved later in life. Boy, if I could get those years back. You're not going to get those years back. But don't let those years condemn you. Amen? Let them make you grateful for the mercy and the grace of God. All glory to God. There's a song that says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. O sinner, come home. Softly and tenderly. All that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, come without money and without price. Just come. Come. Isn't that a blessing? That's God's favorite word. We have in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of the life freely. Whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not in our own merit, amen, just in our humility. God, forgive me. There's a song entitled, Turn Your Heart Toward Home, and it's about this chapter. It's about Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son. And it goes like this. Late in the evening, when everyone was sleeping, the father of the wayward son slipped out in the night and looked toward the city and wiped away the tears and prayed his son could hear his father's cry. And here was the father's cry. Turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Turn your heart toward home. Can you feel that? Have you ever prayed a prayer for somebody like that? But not only the sons are the wayward ones, there are mothers and fathers who have said their goodbyes. And the sad eyes of children are looking through their tears, praying Mom and Daddy could hear their cries. I had those cries as a little boy. Turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. And there are those who have never walked away from home, but in their hearts, they're so many miles away. And the Father in heaven is the only one who knows. If they'd listen, they could hear him say, turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Please, don't wait too long. Turn your heart toward home. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God is calling. Tremendous story, tremendous truths. Speaking to our hearts. Turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long. Please, don't wait too long. Turn your heart toward home. Father, bless your word now. Thank you for it. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. The Father, seeing him coming, had compassion on him and ran out to meet him. And you're running to meet us today. May we run to meet you. What a glorious meeting. How there'll be joy in the presence of the angels of God. Bless this message now. In Jesus' name, amen.